General knowledge, practice test one. Let's get started. Question one. The best time to test your parking brake is when the vehicle's parked, when the vehicle's going down a hill, when the vehicle's moving slowly, or when the vehicle is traveling on the highway. The answer is, just like the question says, it's a parking brake. The answer is when the vehicle's parked. This comes from section 5.3.3, step 7, final air brake check. And in it, they talked about test parking brake. And the procedure is fasten your seatbelt, set the parking brake, and gently pull against it in low gear to test that the parking brake will hold. Question number two. What is the best thing to do if you're tired? Drink plenty of coffee to stay awake, take pills to keep you alert, plan your trips for the middle of the night to avoid traffic, or get enough sleep. The answer is get enough sleep, and that comes from 2.11.2, driver factors. If you are drowsy, the only safe cure is to get off the road and sleep. If you do not, you risk your life and the lives of others. Question number three. How much space should you maintain in front of you at highway speeds? 7 seconds for a 60-foot vehicle, 5 seconds for a 60-foot vehicle, 10 seconds for a 60-foot vehicle, or 3 seconds for a 60-foot vehicle. The answer is 7 seconds for a 60-foot vehicle. And let's look to section 2.7.1 in the space ahead and to get an idea why that's correct. The key is the need for space ahead. You need space ahead in case you must suddenly stop. But the how much space is the most important part. How much space should you keep in front of you? One good rule says you need at least 1 second for each 10 feet of vehicle's length at speeds below 40 miles per hour. Greater speeds, you must add 1 second for safety. For example, if you're driving a 40-foot vehicle, you should leave 4 seconds between you and the vehicle ahead. In a 60-foot rig, you'll need 6 seconds. Over 40 miles an hour, you'd need 5 seconds for a 40-foot vehicle and 7 seconds for a 60-foot vehicle, which is our question, 7 seconds for a 60-foot vehicle. So you have 1 second for each 10 feet, which would make 6 seconds, plus 1 second would be 7 seconds. Question number 4, how often should you check your cargo? Within the first 50 miles after beginning a trip, every 150 miles or every 3 hours, after every break you take during driving, or all of the above? Answers all of the above comes from manual section 3.1, inspecting cargo. And in this section, after starting, inspect the cargo and its securing devices again within the first 50 miles after beginning a trip. Make any adjustments needed. Then recheck the cargo and securing devices as often as necessary during a trip to keep the load secure. You'll need to inspect again after you've driven for 3 hours or 150 miles and after every break you take during driving. The only thing I have here is some state manuals say within 25 miles after beginning a trip. Question number 5. If you must stop on the shoulder of the road, you should place warning devices at all of the following places except within 10 feet of the front or right rear corners, about 100 feet behind your vehicle, about 100 feet in front of your vehicle, or on the other side of a divided highway. The answer is on the other side of a divided highway. Now let's look in section 2.5.2, communicating your presence. It talks about if you must stop on the road or shoulder of any road, you must put out your emergency warning devices within 10 minutes. And place your warning devices in the following locations. Now, if you must stop on or by a one-way or divided highway, place warning devices 10 feet, 100 feet, and 200 feet toward the approaching traffic. And they have a diagram of this here. And one-way or divided highway. So they have 10 feet, 100 feet, and 200 feet. And on a different situation, which is the two-way or undivided highway, and they have different locations, 10 feet front or rear. Here it has just rear, but it can be 10 feet in the front or rear to mark your vehicle location, and also 100 feet behind and ahead of the vehicle. So it talks about 10 feet, within 10 feet of the front of the rear corners, And it does not specify which one of these roads here. It just says if you must stop on the shoulder of the road. It doesn't say whether it's divided or undivided highway. But in either situation, it does not mention on the other side of a divided highway, ever. It mentions 10 feet in front of or behind. It mentions 100 feet behind. It also mentions 200 feet behind. That's not one of the choices. So this is why whenever you see the other side of a divided highway, you'll know that's the correct answer. Question number 6. In the event of a tire failure, you should stay off the brake and hold the steering wheel firmly. Pump the brakes until you come to a stop. Accelerate quickly until you find a place to pull over or disengage the clutch so that you are in a neutral gear. Correct answer is stay off the brake and hold the steering wheel firmly. It comes from 2.17.4, tire failure. And to respond to tire failure, when a tire fails, your vehicle is in danger. You must immediately hold the steering wheel firmly, which it mentions. If a front tire fails, it can twist the steering wheel out of your hand. The only way to prevent this is to keep a firm grip on the steering wheel with both hands at all times. And stay off the brake. And it goes into detail here, as well as check the tires. But the reason why it never says pump the brakes until you come to a stop. It doesn't say mention accelerating quickly till you find a place to pull over, which would be wrong, or to disengage the clutch so you're in a neutral gear. Question number 7. In the event of an accident, you should remember to do the following except move the victims out of the way immediately, protect the area, notify authorities, or stop any bleeding and keep the victims warm. The answer is move the victims out of the way immediately. This comes from Section 220, Accident Procedures. The basic steps to be taken at an accident are to protect the area, notify authorities, care for the injured, or collect required information and report the accident. It doesn't mention here to move the victims out of the way immediately, but that is mentioned unless the danger of fire or passing vehicle makes it necessary. So if the question is worded in that way, where it mentions fire or passing vehicles, then yes, you do need to move the victims out of the way. Logic, common sense. If there's danger, you want to move the victims regardless of their injury. Question number 8. Safe drivers maintain space around their vehicles for the following reasons except in case you must stop suddenly, in case there are cars following too closely, in case there is an obstacle in the road, or in case you need to test your brakes. The answer is in case you need to test your brakes. And in this is one of those situations where it's not specifically stated in the manual, but it's a common sense kind of thing. In 2.7.1, in the space ahead, they talk about different things that could happen and why you need to create space for yourself. And all these three things, in case you must stop suddenly, or if there's cars following too closely, and in case there's an obstacle in the road, there are more serious situations and emergency situations that you need to be able to react to. And when you have more space, you can react. And this thing, in case you need to test your brakes, that's nothing. That's not like the others. It's not one of those things that could happen. That's not as important as these. So it's the one. Sometimes it's which stands out as not like the others. Question number 9: suspension systems. Keep the load secure. Keep the axles in place. Keep the brake drums from failing, or keep the steering wheel tight. The answer is keep the axles in place. Comes from 2.1.3, driving safely, what to look for. And under suspension system defects, it states the suspension system holds up the vehicle and its load. It keeps the axles in place. Enough said. Question 10, a commercial motor vehicle, CMV, is defined as a vehicle with a gross weight over 26,001 pounds, a vehicle transporting hazardous materials, a vehicle transporting 16 or more passengers, or all of the above? Answer is all of the above. These are all types of commercial motor vehicles. In section 1, the first section of the CDL manual has the different types of vehicles that you must have a CDL to operate. These are all commercial motor vehicles. One quick note, in California, has 10 or more passengers, one of those states, but most states are a vehicle transporting 16 or more passengers. In that case, you need a passenger endorsement, passenger vehicles endorsement on your CDL. So these are the types of commercial motor vehicles. The most important thing is to recognize which kinds, and in this case, it's usually all of the above. Question 11, the best way to warn the drivers behind you that you are slowing down is to blow your horn, turn on your emergency flashers, tap your brakes, or flash your bright lights. The answer is C, tap your brakes. From 2.5.1, signaling your intentions, under slowing down, warn drivers behind you when you see you'll need to slow down. A few light taps on the brake pedal, enough to flash the brake lights, should warn following drivers. Question number 12. The following statements about an engine overheating are true, except antifreeze is only used in colder temperatures. If you can touch the radiator cap with your bare hand, it's probably cool enough to open. It is not possible to safely drive without radiator fluid, and never leave the engine running if it's overheating. One of these things is not true, and that's antifreeze is only used in colder temperatures. In 2.14.1, driving in very hot weather, talks about engine coolant. And before starting out, make sure the engine cooling system has enough water and antifreeze according to the engine manufacturer's direction. Antifreeze helps the engine under hot conditions as well as cold conditions. It also talks about stop driving as soon as possible and find out what's wrong. And if you can touch the radiator cap with your bare hand, it is probably cool enough to open. These are guidelines as far as the engine overheating situation is concerned. And the only thing here that's not true is antifreeze is only used in colder temperatures. Question number 13. Which of the following is not true when driving through a curve? You should slow down before the curve. You should brake during the curve. The higher your truck's center of gravity is, the easier it is to roll over. And you should be in a gear that allows you to accelerate during the curve. Which one is not true? And that would be, you should brake during the curve. Comes from 2.3.1 manual transmissions, before you enter a curve. Slow down to a safe speed and downshift to the right gear before entering the curve. This allows you to use some power through the curve to help the vehicle be more stable while turning. It also allows you to speed up as soon as you are out of the curve. It never mentions you should brake during a curve. Number 14. Tires should be replaced when the tread separates, when there are broken valve stems, if the tread depths on your front tires is less than 4/32 deep, or all of the above. All of the above. And in 2.1.3, what to look for, it mentions all the situations in which you should replace your tires. You need 4/32 tread in every major groove on front tires. And as mentioned, the tread separation, of course, is a reason to replace the tires or cracked valve stems. So all three of those are mentioned. That's why it's all of the above. Number 15, to correct the drive wheel braking skid, you should pump the brake, steer in the opposite direction, release the brake and steer counter steer, or accelerate quickly. The answer is release the brake and steer counter steer. This comes from 2.19.2, correcting the drive wheel braking skid. Right here, correcting the drive wheel braking skid, do the following to correct the situation. Stop braking. This will let the rear wheels roll again and keep the rear wheels from sliding. Also, counter steer. So these both are why release the brake and steer counter steer is the correct answer. Question number 16. At 55 miles per hour, it takes about 6 seconds to stop a fully loaded truck, and the braking distance is about the length of a football field or 100 yards, about 1/4 mile, about 2 truck lengths, or about 2 car lengths. Answer is, the only two possible answers is A or B. I mean, obviously you're going pretty fast. 2 truck lengths. I know you've seen some vehicles out there doing it, following a truck length or two truck lengths behind the truck in front of them. But realistically, it's going to be either a football field length or about a quarter mile, and that's a little long way. So the 2.6.1 stopping distance, it mentions braking distance, the distance your vehicle will travel in ideal conditions while you are braking at 55 miles an hour on dry pavement with good brakes. It could take about 216 feet. Not quite a football field, football field being about 300 feet, but it's your best answer. It often is stated that way, around the distance of a football field, although it's slightly less. 17. What is the first thing to do if your vehicle catches fire while driving? Open the door and jump out of the vehicle. Pull off the road and park in an open area. Find a service station to pull into. Or open the hood and let the flames die down. Now, there's three of those that are pretty ridiculous, so you should be obvious without even reading the manual, but it's pull off the road and park in an open area. You don't want to be near anything else that could catch fire and service stations blow up. Opening the door and jumping out of the vehicle, I suppose if you're on fire, that might be a good way to go. And or open the hood and let flames. 2.21.3 firefighting. If your vehicle catches fire, pull off the road. First thing to do, first step is to get the vehicle off the road and stop. In doing so, you pull into an open area away from buildings, trees, brush, other vehicles, or anything else that might catch fire. And do not pull into a service station. And that is the main thing. Also, do not open the hood if you can avoid it. When you open a hood, you bring more oxygen to the area, and the flames do not die down. They get worse. 18. Which of the following statements about stopping distances is not true? Empty trucks require greater stopping distances because they have less traction. Trucks traveling on ice or snow require greater stopping distances. Brakes, tires, springs, and shocks are designed to work best when the truck is empty. Trucks traveling at higher speeds require greater stopping distances. And the one that's not true is brakes, tires, springs, and shocks are designed to work best when the truck is empty. And it's not correct. In 2.6.1, stopping distance, it mentions the effect of vehicle weight on stopping distance. The brakes, tires, springs, and shock absorbers on heavy vehicles are designed to work best when the vehicle is fully loaded. Emptier trucks actually require greater stopping distances because an empty vehicle has less traction. Number 19, what is the reason the exhaust system should be checked? A leaking exhaust system can allow poisonous fumes into the cab. A leaking exhaust system can promote poor fuel mileage. A leaking exhaust system can be caused by snow and rain. A leaking exhaust system can hamper your visibility. The main reason it should be checked is a leaking exhaust system can allow poisonous fumes into the cab. 2.1.3 vehicle inspection, what to look for. First thing it has here, a broken exhaust system can let poisonous fumes into the cab or sleeper berth. Question number 20. When accelerating, always use the parking brake to slow down. Do not engage the clutch before you take your foot off the brake. Speed up smoothly and gradually and avoid jerking. Or hammer down when your wheels start to spin. The answer is to speed up smoothly and gradually and avoid jerking. From 2.2.1 in accelerating, it talks about everything in this on every one of these options. But when it talks about engaging the clutch, it says you may partly engage the clutch before you take your right foot off the brake. So that's why B is not correct. Do not engage the clutch before you take the foot off the brake. It mentions specifically speed up smoothly and gradually so the vehicle does not jerk. Common sense. And it sounds good, and it is the right answer. Also, why is hammer down when your wheels start to spin not correct? Because you should speed up very gradually when traction is poor, and if you use too much power, the drive wheels may spin. It's obviously not what you want. Number 21, when backing up the tractor trailer, try to avoid backing toward the right or passenger side, backing towards the left or driver's side, pulling ahead to reposition your trailer, or having someone help guide you. The answer is backing toward the right passenger side. That's the one that you try to avoid. It's the most dangerous one. The visibility is the least of the options here. 2.2.4, backing safely. When you have to back, here's a few simple safety rules. Start in proper position, look in your path, use mirrors on both sides, back slowly, back and turn toward the driver's side whenever possible, and use a helper whenever possible. Number 22, when going down a hill, you should always use higher gears when you have a heavy load. A lot of brakes to heat up for better stopping power. Be in the right gear before starting down a hill, or put heavy pressure on the brakes to allow the drums to cool. Be in the right gear before starting down a hill. 2.3.1, under manual transmissions, before starting down a hill, it specifically says downshift before starting down the hill. Make sure you're in a low enough gear, usually lower than the gear required to climb the same hill. Question 23, when is the road likely to be more slippery? After a hard rain, after it has been raining slightly for 30 minutes, when it has just begun the rain, or after the rain has ended? The answer is when it has just begun to rain. Some places mentioned as first rain being the most dangerous. It's kind of counterintuitive. It's not the first thing you think about, but it is in 2.6.2. Depends on the road surface. So just after the rain begins, right after it starts to rain, the water mixes with oil left on the road by vehicles. This makes the road very slippery. If the rain continues, it's not as bad. It washed the oil, at least some of the oil, away. 24. When making a left-hand turn, you should always wait until you reach the center of the intersection before your turn. Start in the left-hand lane if there are two turning lanes. Pull into the intersection in case the light turns before you are through, or wait for a small gap in traffic and accelerate. The answer is wait until you reach the center of the intersection before you turn. In 2.7.6, over here, on left turns, on the left turn, you make sure you have reached the center of the intersection before you start your left turn. Question 25. When using turn signals, which of the following should be avoided? Signal just before you start to make a turn, signal when you want to change lanes, signal before you exit, or signal when you are merging into traffic. Which should be avoided? Answers, signal just before you start to make a turn. That's the one you don't want to do. In 2.5.1, signaling your intention just states, signal early. Signal well before you turn. It is the best way to keep others from trying to pass you. 26. Your vehicle is going down a long hill and your brakes begin to fail. What should you do? Pump the brake pedal, downshift, put the gears in neutral, or look for an escape ramp or an escape route. This one's pretty obvious. Look for an escape ramp or escape route. In 2.17.3, brake failure on downgrades. Going slow enough and braking properly will almost always prevent brake failure on long downgrades. Once the brakes have failed, however, you are going to have to look outside your vehicle for something to stop it. Your best hope is an escape ramp. If there is one, there will be signs telling you about it. Use it. Question number 27, which is not part of the pre-trip inspection. Check engine oil level, check horns, check air seat adjustments, or check seat belt fastener. Which is not part is check air seat adjustments. In section 11, pre-trip vehicle inspection test, it talks about all the different things that you should check, and A was oil level. It does mention to check the horns here. It also mentions to check the seatbelt fastener. There it is, the safety belt. But it does not mention check air seat adjustments. Obviously, your air seat should be adjusted correctly, but it's not specifically mentioned. That's why that's the answer. Question 28. Which of the following statements about downshifting is not true? Downshift before starting down a hill. Downshift before entering a curve. Downshift when you get to the bottom of the hill, or last option is to use either the tachometer or the speedometer and downshift at the right RPM or road speed. Answer C, downshift when you get to the bottom of the hill and 2.3.1, special conditions where you should downshift before starting down a hill. So when you get to the bottom of the hill, it's too late. If you haven't downshifted and you're not in the right gear before you start down, then it's too late and you're up a creek. Okay. 29. Which of the following statements about overhead space is true? The heights posted at bridges are usually accurate. The weight of the cargo changes a truck's height. Warning lights are always installed on low bridges and overpasses. An empty van is lower than a loaded one. The one that's true is the weight of the cargo changes a truck's height. In 2.7.4, there are a few things to go over here. Do not assume that the heights posted at bridges and overhead overpasses are correct because of repaving or packed snow. The weight of a cargo van changes its height. An empty van is higher when it's heavier. It's obviously lower, being pushed down by gravity, by the weight. If you doubt you have safe space to pass under an object, go slowly. Warnings are often posted on low bridges or over underpasses, but sometimes they are not. And one said warning lights are always installed. No, sometimes. Okay, last question to test. Which one of the following is true about shifting gears? Remain in neutral as long as possible. Allow the engine tachometer to rev into the highest range possible. Ignore how the engine sounds or shift at the best RPM range for your vehicle. Shift at the best RPM range for your vehicle. 2.3 shifting gears. Use engine speed RPM. Study the driver's manual for your vehicle and learn the operating RPM range. Watch your tachometer. Shift up when your engine reaches the top of the range. Some newer vehicles use progressive shifting. And so the best answer is, obviously you should never ignore how the engine sounds. Allow the engine tachometer to rev into the highest range possible, or remain in neutral as long as possible. It says nothing about that. Obviously, the RPM range, the best for your vehicle, is the answer. Okay, that's that for that test.